And I am your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush, who's taking a well-deserved vacation. I am here with Rob Bray from Mighty Hand Construction, Charlie Behind the Glass, and on the line we have the great John Zemirak from Stream.org. John, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks. How you doing?
I'm doing well, but it has been a crazy week since last we talked to you. What's on your mind going on right now out of Washington?
Well, I got a piece at Stream.org. I'm glad the Democrats cheated. Whether or not we can prove it in time to stop the steal. Hashtag stop the steal. I think it's really good that so many Americans are profoundly suspicious of our nation's institutions because they have been hijacked completely and thoroughly. Not just the deep state and the FBI, CIA, not just the bad actors in various election commissions, and you know the prosecutors and local district attorneys who were elected after George Soros picked them out and poured money into them. There are not just the media. There are so many levels at which America has been hijacked by an alien organism that I call anti-America, and it's a collection of ideologies that are hostile to our founding principles and to the people who actually live in the country, most of them. But also, there's been a fundamental illegitimacy going on since 1973. In 1973, the Supreme Court arrogated for itself the power to rewrite the Constitution by pretending it says things it doesn't say. And the obvious case was Roe versus Wade.
Right.
Now, if you ask any liberal law professor, they know Roe v. Wade was a bad decision. It was a false decision. It made things up. It pretended that there's a right of bodily privacy in the Constitution so fundamental that it lets a woman kill her child. Yet, oddly, not fundamental enough to let her sell her body as a prostitute or sell her organs on the Internet or use her body to work for less than the minimum wage.
And John,
drugs the FDA hasn't approved.
And John, yeah. By the way, it did that completely despite science.
Right.
They actually decided, okay, let's stop looking at the science of whether or not this is a human life, set that aside completely, and the party supposedly of science said,
right,
we're just going to rule based on this, and they
hijacked
privacy.
It wasn't
they invented
in
law. Right.
That's right. So since then, what have Republicans done? We pretended this is a legitimate Supreme Court decision that we have to defer to, and we're going to fix it by trying to get good people on the court. What have the Democrats done? They went after people like Robert Bork, Clarence Thomas, Brett Kavanaugh, tried to destroy them because they want so desperately to hold on to the illegitimate power that they got through a fraudulent, dishonest Supreme Court decision. Since 1973, we should have realized that the left is not interested in legitimacy, not interested in the Constitution or in playing by the rules. So it's been ridiculous to see Republican senators voting to confirm justices like Kagan and Sotomayor and Ginsburg when they're openly adhering to lies, to things which are simply not even remotely close to being in the Constitution. And the gay marriage decision and the Bostock decision about transgenderism, the left has been seizing power illegitimately using whatever means it can for the last 30, 40 years. And we're supposed to be shocked at the suggestion that they would stuff ballot boxes? Come on.
Right.
By the way, can we add John Roberts to that group now?
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know what needs to happen to John Roberts? We need to impeach him and try to remove him from office. If the Supreme Court is going to become a political branch of government that legislates, then its members have to be subject to removal. They don't have to do a Jeffrey Toobin on a Zoom call. It doesn't have to be an ethics breach. We should remove Supreme Court justices if they rule incorrectly and falsify the Constitution.
Well, if they're going to legislate, they should be elected officials, right? That's why
That's
we have
right.
the separation of powers to begin with.
Yeah, why do we allow our laws to be made by people we can't vote out?
That's right. It was Justice Scalia who said the left decided, after the ERA failed, to treat the Supreme Court as a permanent sitting constitutional convention. And whenever NPR and the New York Times and Harvard agree about something, well, it's just send it up to the nice five lawyers who will rule by decree and update the Constitution to reflect liberal opinion in the Northeast and San Francisco. Well, that's not how our system was ever meant to work. I can hardly think of a system worse than rule by decree by five lawyers appointed to serve for life.
Right.
Really, almost anything. A hereditary monarchy would be significantly better than that.
We're speaking with John Zemirick from Stream.org. And John, you're right. At this point, the left will literally stop at nothing. The numbers that we've been looking at here, and Rob and I have been looking at some of them, that Biden won by in various districts where he shouldn't have, the way he bucked trends that were obvious elsewhere in the country are just ludicrous. I mean, they're impossible.
Yeah,
they're statistically impossible, and yet he pulled it off, and yet we are looked at as a bunch of kooks.
Now we know why he didn't bother to campaign.
Right.
You know,
wow.
He didn't need to.
Wow.
Now we know why. He actually had a slip of the tongue and admitted it and said, I have the largest voter fraud organization in the history of the country. And another time he said, I don't need you to vote for me. I need you for afterwards. Afterwards, I guess, to count the votes and miscount the votes and support the steal. I mean, if Donald Trump had a slip of the tongue and said, I've got the greatest collusion with Russia in the history of the world, nobody would have let him get away with it. Nobody would have said he was having a senior moment. I mean, come on. And all these so-called conservatives at places like National Review and Fox News that are trying to paint us as cranks.
Right.
These are the people who believe there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. They started a war over it. Where was their intellectual skepticism then?
These are the people who believe that Trump was colluding with Russia. These are people who believe a lot of... You know, the thing, John, that blows my mind is this. All of the daytime Fox people never offer any evidence to show that the nighttime Fox people are cranks. They simply say that the extremeness of their claims makes them cranks. So Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and Tucker Carlson, they're all nutcases because of why? Well, because they're actually insisting that these horrible, horrible things have happened. Okay, what's your evidence that they have?
Well, and they keep using this word widespread to try and debunk the fact that there really was fraud. They keep saying, well, there's no widespread fraud because it's such a vague term and it makes it harder to defend.
Of course, the fraud was only in four or five swing
states,
so I guess you could say that's not widespread.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean...
But you know what? There wasn't widespread killing of black defendants by police.
Right.
George Floyd
Come
was
on.
Enough to set the country on fire. We should be significant, just as upset about the hijacking of our country's democratic election system as people were about a criminal who resisted arrest.
But that goes to show they don't actually care about justice, right? And law and order, like they say they
just
do.
Power.
It's as long as their side is advancing. You know, we even had Secretary of States and Attorney Generals. We had different governors tweeting that they knew that they were going to win, that Biden was going to win in their state. How did they know so confidently? And these tweets just weren't like, you know, bravado confidence. I mean, they said it with certainty, like, oh, he's going to win, like before it even happened.
Hey, John, before I let you go, because I know thank you, by the way, for giving us so much time today. I know you're on a tight schedule. But before I let you go, look forward for us, will you? Because these cases that the Trump team is bringing, they are going to go to the Supreme Court very quickly in the next few days. And I see Justice Kavanaugh as the tiebreaker. I believe Justice Roberts will vote against Trump on anything, anywhere, every time, all the time, because, frankly, I don't think he cares about the Constitution. And I think we have four that are going to vote with Trump every time. Kavanaugh worries me. What do you see happening?
Yeah, I want to hear your thoughts on ACB, too.
Yeah, well, if this goes to the Supreme Court, I think we've got a good chance, in part because three of the members of the Supreme Court were actually lynched by the Democrats.
Right.
Look what they did to Clarence Thomas. I think Justice Kavanaugh would have been kind of a squish and maybe another Roberts if they had not done to him what they did. But, getting accused of having run a teenage rape gang clarifies the mind wonderfully. And they're not going to be a lot of liberals appealing to Kavanaugh. He doesn't have to worry that he'll be ruining his invitation to speak at Harvard someday. He really has nothing to lose, and the only people with time for him are conservatives. So there's no danger, I think, of Kavanaugh pulling a Roberts now. And Amy Comey Barrett, who is, again, they try to subject her to an unconstitutional religious test to keep her out of office for being a pro-life Catholic. So I think that's a solid three. Alito is a solid, good constitutionalist. And I think Gorsuch's recent ruling on church and state is a hopeful sign. But I can't absolutely see the future. But and the evidence is piling up. The question is whether or not they think, oh, it'll be too disruptive to the country to investigate, to make the fraud have consequences and force these states to re-vote or force the legislatures to name the electors. But I tell you what, it's damn disruptive for half the country to go 4 years thinking the president is an illegitimate pretender squatting in a White House that he stole. That's very disruptive, too. They should think that one through.
Fantastic. Well, that's John Zemirek from Stream.org. John, how do people reach you?
Stream.org. I write five times a week. And follow me on Twitter. It's JZMIRAK on Twitter.
Well, we have four guaranteed non-constitutional votes on the Supreme Court, but you give me hope. We may have five going the right way. Thanks a lot, John.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You bet. All right, let's take a break. Barber's Foods, in business since 1949, they have the best of every kind of meat you want. 100% Colorado native, locally owned, and still 2 pounds of free Wagyu ground beef. Have you ever seen that stuff?
I haven't.
I call it sumo cow. It is incredible. It is so delicious. It just melts in your mouth. You get 2 pounds of that free with every order. Just call or text at 303-466-7338. That is 303-466-7338 or order online at barbersfoods.com.
Barber's Foods has been feeding Colorado families the highest quality protein since 1949, sourced from farm, ranch, and fishing families that they know personally. Barber's Foods is proud to offer your family wild-caught Alaskan sockeye fillets, caught by their own fishermen who personally catch the salmon in the Bristol Bay of Alaska in a boat that they own and operate. Go to barbersfoods.com to pre-order your Alaskan salmon fillets. And while you're there, check out the Morgan Ranch Wagyu, Colorado-sourced USDA choice beef and bison, Beeler's non-GMO gestation, crate-free Duroc pork, and Pittman Farms family air-chilled chicken products. Stock up now and save 5% off your entire order with the code SAVE5. You care where your food comes from. So buy your proteins from Barber's Foods, 100% Colorado native owned. Barbersfoods.com.
Okay, Flesh and Beck. Flesh and Beck is next. You got a slam dunk case, right? You don't need a lawyer. Wrong. No matter how good your case is, you need preparation and presentation. Because when you're in front of that judge, you want your guy or gal to be better than theirs. Don't take chances. Call Kevin Flesch. That's F-L-E-S-C-H. He's my lawyer. He can be yours, too. So call Flesch and Beck at 303-806-8886 or go to fleshlawfirm.com.
You go to the grocery store to buy ice cream and end up with a dislocated shoulder. Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesch of Flesch and Beck Law has one goal, to make sure you get the medical care you need without worrying about the cost. Your first reaction when you slip and fall tends to be embarrassment and avoidance. You hustle up to get off the floor, tell everyone you're fine, and go home in a hurry. Then, once the adrenaline wears off, you start to realize that you're not fine after all. You end up in the emergency room needing rotator cuff surgery. Suddenly, you're facing upwards of $50,000 in hospital bills, all because of a shopping trip. KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesch, will prove the place of business created a dangerous condition, holding them accountable for your medical expenses so you can focus only on getting the treatment you need. Call today for a free, no-obligation consultation, 303-806-8886. Flesch and Beck Law. They get results.
Winter is coming quick, and if there's one thing Geno's knows, it's that a well-maintained vehicle performs and lasts, especially during the harsh and sudden Colorado winter weather. Take advantage of Geno's free multi-point inspection before winter arrives. We'll evaluate your vehicle by looking at your fluid levels, belts, hoses, and filters. Any maintenance or repair work on your vehicle comes with a NAPA Peace of Mind warranty, covering parts and labor for 36 months or 36,000 miles. To make your life simpler, Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. Geno's continues to service Larry's Automotive customers through NAPA Auto Care, warranting any work you may have had done. If you think your vehicle will benefit from our multi-point inspection, give Geno's a call or go online to schedule an appointment. We're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon in Littleton. Stay safe this winter. Stop in or visit us online at ginosautoservice.com. That's Geno's with a J.
Welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Rob Bray here with Andy, and we're filling in for John while he's gone. Having a good time.
You sound like a total pro, man.
Hey, I'm trying. I'm doing my best.
Do you practice this all the time while you're fixing homes?
Just in the last few minutes.
All right, let's get back to there are five ways that Joe Biden totally outperformed expectations. Folks, why are we talking about this? We're talking about this so people realize that we on the right are not a bunch of conspiracy theorists. We're not a bunch of cranks. We're looking at numbers. This isn't conspiracy.
Just want it to be fair.
Yes. Okay, I said in the last time around that in those 19 bellwether counties, now these are counties that have picked it correctly for 40 years. Trump won 18 of them by an average of 16 points. Biden only won one of them by like 3 points. Okay, that's impossible. That has never happened. Okay, but it actually gets a little worse. I don't know if you know this, but they have more bellwether counties. All right, let me see here. I'm just looking for it. Yeah, here it is. There's a larger list of 58 bellwether counties that have correctly picked the president since 2000. Okay, that's two decades, you know, or the last 16 years for the last. So basically the last four elections in a row, 58 bellwether counties have correctly picked the president every single time over that time. Well, how many of those do you think Trump won?
Not enough. He probably actually won them all, but they seemingly that doesn't line up with what the Democrats are saying.
Yeah, once again, remember, these bellwether counties are flooded with independents, and so they're going to flip one way or the other. They went for Obama. They went for Trump.
Right.
They went for Bush. They went for the winner every time. Okay.
So they should be going for Biden if all the facts are lining up, but it seems like they're actually going for Trump.
Which 51.
Wow.
Out of 58 went for Trump. And by an average, get this, of 15 points. While the other seven went to Biden by an average of around 4 points.
So what we're seeing is anomalies only in certain counties and certain states where there's just an outrageous number of Biden votes that put him over the top when all these bellwether counties are actually going for Trump, which means nationwide, Trump should have been predicted as the winner.
Exactly. So what you've got are these, you know, split counties, these on the border counties, right? Bellwether counties. And folks, if people are saying to you, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're nuts. Really? Really? You got 19 counties that have picked the president right every year out of the last 40 years. 18 out of 19 went to Trump by an average of 16 points. Biden only won one of them by 3 points. You've got out of 59 that have picked every presidency right since 2000. Trump won 51 of those by an average of 15 points. Biden only won 7 or 8 by 4 points.
Right.
That's impossible.
Right.
That's not unlikely without cheating, massive cheating in, you know, key areas. We're going to get to that, the select few cities here next. Without that happening, massive cheating happening in those areas, there's no way. There's no way you could do that. Remember, I used to, for a decade, I managed casinos. We dealt with odds. Anyone who played against those odds would have been broke, and I mean broke, inside of 5 minutes. They'd have been throwing away all their money.
Right.
They wouldn't. No one would play those odds, Rob. They couldn't do it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's in addition to what you're bringing up here, all the other things that aren't lining up. That's why we know this isn't conspiracy. We know something's not right. We might not have all the facts. But, I mean, the fact that a judge had to block Georgia officials from erasing the data on the Dominion voting machines.
Yeah, why would they even do that?
This is a Daily Wire article that just came out yesterday. And if a judge is having to intercept Georgia officials from erasing data, I mean, they're trying to hide something. So it's the combination of all this overwhelming influx of information that we're getting, whether it's the 11,000 signed affidavits and the eyewitnesses saying that there could not be poll watchers, or it's the officials trying to erase the information off the voting machines, or like you said, these bellwether counties that all went Trump. The fact that Biden got way more votes than even Obama, when obviously Biden's just didn't have the energy in his campaign. It's the fact that people seem to have known the future before it happened. Something's not right here. It's not conspiracy. We're just saying we want the truth. The truth will set us free.
And I want to talk about that more after in the next segment, because you're blowing my mind with these numbers. They are absolutely incredible. Folks, this isn't a conspiracy. It happened. Okay, let's talk about that after the break. But first, Enchanted Kitchens. Every kitchen redesign will run into at least one design challenge. But with a team of experienced designers on your side, you won't need to face those challenges alone. You know what you want. You know the picture. Well, here you go. Enchanted Kitchens knows the big picture. And by the way, they still have 20% off on all Yorktown cabinets. Those are gorgeous. You've probably seen them, right?
You work absolutely with those. Yeah. We can install them for you.
Yeah. And by the way, who does Enchanted Kitchens work with at times?
Mighty Hand Construction. Well, they design it, we'll build it.
Awesome. So guys, work with Enchanted Kitchens, work with Mighty Hand, do them together. You're going to love the results. Just go to klzradio.com/kitchens and fill out our contact form. They take care of the rest. Or you can call Enchanted Kitchens at 303-376-7588. Enchanted Kitchens, bringing you the magic of design.
You're at the point where you're tired of living in a kitchen that doesn't work, but you're overwhelmed at the thought of a total redesign. Yes, you'd love a new kitchen that works, but you feel daunted by the process. Here's the good news. By hiring the Enchanted Kitchens design team, not only are you guaranteed a gorgeous, functional, finished product, but you also get to hand over all the stress and uncertainty to a team of professionals who know what they're doing. The design team at Enchanted Kitchens has been doing this long enough to know that every kitchen will run into at least one design challenge. But with a team of experienced designers on your side, you won't need to face those challenges alone. Have a conversation now with the Enchanted Kitchens design team and start talking through the process together. Let them make it work for you. Set up a free, no-obligation consultation at the Experience Center. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Okay, let's talk about Kurt Rogers at Affordable Interest Mortgage. Take some of that equity in your house, turn it into cash, and Kurt can often do it without increasing the cash flow you're paying out. Just call Kurt Rogers at 720-895-0500 or go to aimortgage.net. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
All you're looking for is a good shop. You've already been through the extremely unpleasant experience of a collision. Now you're dreading the process of repairing the damage to your vehicle. You just want someone professional and polite who will answer your phone calls and tell you what's going on. It doesn't seem like too much to ask, but somehow it's so hard to find. Well, we at KLZ found a good shop. Al Sturm and his team explain all of the costs, so you know what you're paying for. They help you with your insurance claim. They handle all of your auto body work in-house, so you get your vehicle back faster, and a real person answers the phone every time. Best of all, they'll get your vehicle looking great back to pre-loss condition. Al and his team run a good shop, and that's exactly what you're looking for. Find them now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair, worth referring.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate here with Rob.
Mighty Hand Construction.
Rob at Mighty Hand Construction. We also have Charlie behind the glass. And on the line, we have Liz Mayer. Liz, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Liz, I'm doing fine. I got to be honest, it's kind of a depressing time. Obviously, Trump would have to hurdle some incredibly high hurdles legally in a lot of courts to win and all that. And I understand that. I kind of knew that for the last few weeks. But
Sure. Here's
something that's really shocked me, Liz, and I want to ask you about this. Mm-hmm. How did the Republicans do this well in so many places where we didn't expect them to do in the House? And by the way, I'm going to be honest. I didn't think they'd hold the Senate. I thought going into this, they had no chance at the Senate. They could still lose it if they lose both of them in Georgia. But my goodness, they have done incredibly well. And my biggest shock has been California.
I agree with you about that. But I will also say, sitting as I am on the fringes of New York City, I think it's been fascinating to see how, for as much as there's lots of energy and enthusiasm in the Democratic Party for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's agenda,
Right. It's
really fascinating to see how, right in her own backyard, that really tanked fellow Democrats in the House. We are in the same media market. We're maybe 20 minutes drive from her district. And so we're privy to a lot of the attack ads and a lot of what was going on. And it being New York, people are a little less constrained in the way that they talk about people they don't like. And I got to tell you, the attack ads against Max Rose in particular, who represented that Staten Island, Brooklyn district that was taken by Nicole Malliotakis, they were just brutal. I mean, some of the most brutal attack ads I've ever seen in my life.
Liz, what did they focus on?
Well, a lot of it was the defund the police stuff, right? Which is not terribly surprising when you think about a lot of the people who live in outer boroughs in New York. You do have a lot of people who are law enforcement or who have relatives who are law enforcement. And they had one ad, and I will not swear live on air, but I will do a little pause, and you can think about what word would be inserted that starts with F. But they had one ad that was all retired police, police widows, family of police. And they were all just, it was brutal. One of them said something about, like, he's a puppet. And another one says, there aren't enough strings. And the ad ended with this very, very angry lady looking at the camera, pointing her finger and saying, Max Rose is a liar. He's a blank liar.
Wow.
Like on TV, on broadcast. And that's how brutal it was. And they had pictures of him showing up at a rally, which I think probably was intended to just be literally a Black Lives Matter anti-brutality rally. But there were people holding signs saying defund the police. And so he got tagged with that. And he's been pretty open in saying that the reason he went down probably is AOC. But that's not just confined to his district. Lee Zeldin, who represents a Long Island district, he should have been vulnerable. He stayed up. Peter King, who retired his district, should have been poachable by a Democrat. Didn't happen. We've got other districts in New York where, again, like John Katko pulled it out. It was a real problem here. And I think that if you look at California, same thing. Some of these areas that were Orange County, L.A., where in 2018 they did shift in a Democratic direction. It looks like people kind of thought, okay, we were okay with that in 2018, but now things have gotten a little bit out of kilter, so let's pull it back. And I think that's part of it. I will say another part of it is I've got to give real credit to Elise Stefanik from New York on this. I don't always agree with her about everything, but she has implemented during her time in the House a recruitment program that is focused on recruiting really high quality female candidates for House races, and a bunch of them won this year. So clearly what she's doing is working. She was one of the people that recruited in Nicole Malliotakis. I believe she recruited in Nancy Mace, who won in South Carolina's 1st District. She may have been involved with one of those Iowa races that I want to say the Republicans winning by a total of 6 votes right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, like, you have a combination of somebody who really puts a lot of effort into something that's been a historical deficiency for Republicans, and then you have somebody else who thinks that what sells with, frankly, elite gentrified millennials in part of Queens and the Bronx thinks that that sells in every district nationwide. It just doesn't. And that's how you get the result you've got.
You know, I also don't always agree with Elise Stefanik, but I got to be honest. She has been amazing. What a warrior up in that area where she's working.
I will say, yeah, I don't agree with her about everything. Back in 2000, I think back in 2009, she was doing some work for the Pawlenty campaign, as was I, and that's when I first got to know her. But I will say this, whatever you think about her philosophically, she works her butt off, and she works harder than just about anybody else in politics. I think one of the things that's going to be truly fascinating to watch with House Republicans is both she and Liz Cheney really want to be Speaker. And they are both two of the hardest working people in politics. And that's going to be a really interesting clash to see, like, you know, two real champions of women in the Republican Party sort of heading towards each other and seeing how that turns out. But
yeah, I don't think
really hard.
I don't want to stand between those two in an elevator.
No, that sounds really awful. Right? But yeah, no, I mean, but I remember when Elise first said she was running for that district, and I was like, she's out of her mind. She's absolutely crazy, because that district had gone to Obama, right?
Right.
But she went up there and she knocked on every single door. And a lot of people these days just are not willing to put in that effort. And she did it, and she has held that district, despite the fact that that district very much is a vote for whoever is winning the presidential race and then keep on voting straight down the ticket kind of district. She has figured out how to crack that. So, you know, I do think a lot of credit is owed to her. I certainly don't want to say that, you know, Nancy Pelosi and just House Democrats generally going off a deep end and her with her ice cream stunt and things like that have not contributed to this. Also, I do think that there is a small element of policy, but I really think most of this is down to bad branding on Democrats' part and really hard work on the part of a couple of key Republicans, but mostly Stefanik, really mostly her.
You know, the thing, Liz, that I have never seen before, you know, Cook Report comes out with its toss-ups, lean blue, lean red, and so forth before every election. They had, I think it was Cook Report, correct me if I'm wrong, had 27 toss-up House seats. And in all 27 out of 27, the Republican won. And in the vast majority of those, it was a woman or minority Republican. And in fact, all of them, it was.
I think that's probably about right.
Yeah.
I was looking more probably at that roll call list than the Cook list. And there are a few discrepancies there in terms of the ratings. But I think the general thrust of that is right, even if the numbers aren't exactly right, right? I mean, overwhelmingly, you know, we saw Pelosi's majority knocked back.
Well, California was stunning.
Yeah. Well, I think what's interesting is a lot of where we saw Pelosi's majority knocked back was like these suburban districts where, yeah, I really think the defund the police stuff was a problem. I mean, look, I'm very much in favor of further criminal justice reform, and I do think that we have really systemic problems with policing in this country. But here, this is my data point on this. Having seen those Max Rose ads, my 6-year-old said this to me at dinner the other night, because, you know, Max Rose hit Malliotakis pretty hard too, and he had an ad that called her a fraud, fraud, fraud. So now we joke about how Nicole Malliotakis might have won, but she'll always be a fraud, fraud, fraud to us. But, you know, I asked my son, my 6-year-old, I said, you know, based on what you know about that race, how would you have voted? And he said, I would have voted for Malliotakis. And I said, that's interesting. Why? And he said, you can't defund the police. If somebody's doing something bad, you have to be able to call somebody and have somebody answer the phone. And I was like, you know, when even the 6-year-old gets it, Democratic Party's got a real problem on their hands.
They
so,
do.
I don't know. You know, it's
that's because you taught him right.
Affairs. Well, I like to think that. He's also a very clever and ingenious person. But, you know, it's not a good indicator when the 6-year-old
right.
has a better clue about how to message this stuff than, like, you know, the hot star of the Democratic Party who potentially might challenge Chuck Schumer in a primary.
Sure. Sure. Hey, Liz, I had a question for you. Switching gears here a little bit. Earlier in the show, we've been talking about the COVID restrictions and some of the lockdowns. And, you know, Andy and I, you know, we believe there's a lot of government overreach, and we might not see eye to eye on that, and that's okay. But I wondered your thoughts on COVID restrictions and some of the hypocrisy we've been seeing, you know, and obviously nobody's perfect, but particularly in California recently, there's been a little bit of the hypocrisy on, you know, mandating certain things and then the leaders themselves not always following through. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, set aside the political liabilities with it. If people really genuinely think that this is this extreme of public health crisis, and I don't disagree with that. I mean, I live in a state that was hit really hard with it.
Right, sure.
If you really believe that, then you better be prepared to live with whatever you're mandating, because otherwise you're just signaling to the public that it's not that big a deal.
So you know? Lead by example, right?
Well, yeah, I don't think most of this stuff is particularly complicated. I mean, this goes back to a conversation that John and I have had before. Rarely do I hold Connecticut up as an example of how things should be done. But I think here, you know, partly because we have Yale, partly because we have some billionaires who have funded a lot of anti-COVID stuff, and partly also, I think, because we did get hit hard up front, and so people had to kind of, you know, look around at what was working, what wasn't working, and, you know, get on it a little bit faster than the rest of the country.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, we do have the privilege of sitting next to Andrew Cuomo and Bill de Blasio, so we know how not to do things. I just find it extraordinary that here, you know, yeah, everybody's got to wear their mask. I go to the gym. I wear my mask. Okay, it's an athletic mask. It's not like an N95, whatever.
Sure.
But, you know, everything's pretty open. Like, restaurants are maybe like 90% capacity. I mean, Mondays and Wednesdays, my kid has karate. He does karate. He does it with, you know, no more than 10 other kids in the room and with a mask on, but he does karate. And then we go out to dinner.
Right.
And nothing's really different. And what I find astonishing is when I look around at the rest of the country, everything else is radically different. So
right.
You have people getting really draconian about things, and then a lot of people not obeying those things. You see numbers spiking. You see massive restaurant closures. You see whole industries being just absolutely slaughtered and cut down. And I'm like, can't people just kind of copy what we're doing here?
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's a lot better than.
Well, it sounds like your leaders are modeling that. You're right. There's something about the hypocrisy that exposes that they don't really believe it, and therefore there's less incentive to do it, and then we don't get to stay open.
Right. You know, and I wasn't enthused when I got the pre-Thanksgiving email that because they were anticipating people traveling and exposing themselves to COVID, we were going to have to go back to masks in all areas of the gym, you know, as opposed to just like the really high traffic, high frequency ones. But, you know, that'll last until a little bit after Christmas, and then presumably we'll go back to how it was again when we
right.
don't have as many people traveling. But
right.
I just... Yeah, I mean, you know, we are lucky. We have a very major Ivy League university that is very invested in coming up with solutions to this because probably they can put a lot of money in their endowment by doing it. That's good, right? We do have billionaires who really, really don't want their hedge fund employees getting sick. And so they're going to plow a lot of money into testing and everything else to make sure that we keep a handle on it. But I guess I kind of look around and I'm like, you know, I know Connecticut has a lot of billionaires and we do have Yale, but California's got Stanford and it's got Caltech and it's got Berkeley and UCLA and USC and on and on and on, and plenty of rich people in Hollywood. And like, I feel like if people were taking it this seriously, they could find a way of ensuring that people are safer, transmission is lower. You've got better treatment options because I read this stuff about they're going to be at 112% capacity on hospital beds in a matter of days, and they wouldn't have to be shutting outdoor dining in Los Angeles, which is one of the craziest things I've ever heard in my life. I mean, there has to be a better way of doing this. I have to believe that.
Well, here's for getting back to normal, and thank you so much for telling us how these House elections went, because I'm telling you what, I'm excited. Liz Mayer, how can people reach you and learn more about you?
They can follow me on Twitter at LizMayer, and I would encourage people, if people are interested in the work that Elise Stefanik is doing, go and actually Google her operation, because there's going to be a lot more in detail on that on her website than anything I can provide.
Sounds.
But it's very interesting stuff.
Sounds fantastic. Thanks, Liz. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Hey, see you.
Okay, here we go. Let's Novus Auto Glass. When does that chip on your windshield become a crack? Does it happen at the best time? Rob?
Never does.
No, it happens at the worst time when you're busiest. Okay, so get ahead of it. Contact Novus Auto Glass. With cutting-edge technology, they're fast, friendly, and ready to take care of smart people like you, people who think ahead. Contact Novus Auto Glass, that's N-O-V-U-S, at rushtoreason.com/Novus.
Novus means innovate. As the original inventors of windshield repair, Novus Auto Glass continues to stay on the cutting edge of glass repair and replacement. Any vehicle with lane departure technology needs to be recalibrated after a windshield replacement because of the cameras and sensors mounted to your windshield. All of those sensors need to be carefully realigned so your vehicle provides accurate positioning information. And each vehicle manufacturer is different. Most auto glass facilities, even the big names, do not have the right tools and equipment to calibrate your windshield. They can only replace the glass, not recalibrate the sensors. Because Novus Auto Glass constantly upgrades to keep pace with the changing industry, the majority of their locations now offer calibrations. Get your windshield replaced and the sensors recalibrated with the inventors of windshield repair. Find Novus Auto Glass at rushtoreason.com/Novus, N-O-V-U-S.
You never enjoy going to the dealership for maintenance because you always get the runaround. You'd much rather give your business to a local independent shop, but you assume you have to go back to the dealership to maintain your service contract. You bought the vehicle there, so you need to get it maintained there too, right? Wrong. Extreme Auto Repair will honor your service contract. Unlike most independent shops, Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will honor almost all service contracts. You pay your deductible just like you would at the dealership, and Extreme Auto Repair does the work. Two-time AAA award-winning Shop of the Year, Extreme Auto Repair in Parker does their best to make your life easier by offering everything you need to maintain your vehicle for as long as you drive it. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/extreme to find out whether or not Extreme Auto Repair will honor your dealership's service contract. Promises kept.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy, and after all these years and hundreds of radio spots on many stations, I still find it hard to convey how I feel about our dealership in Fort Lupton without it being just another 60 seconds of car dealer shtick and hype. Let's face it, there are only so many glowing things I could say about Purefoy Chevrolet, but at the end of the day, does the ad sell cars and trucks? I want and need your business, especially if you're in the market for a new Chevrolet or a decent used vehicle. And really, all I have to offer is a good buying experience that I know is sincerely appreciated and valued by our customers. 60 years in business has taught us many things that makes the difference in doing business. We're not perfect by any means, but we're honest about what we do and have the ethics and integrity to back it up. We have all the same factory rebates and incentives that all the other dealers have to offer, plain and simple. So do yourself a favor. If you're in the market for a vehicle or need reliable service, please give us a try. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton or on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Since GIA Insurance represents more than 20 Medicare companies, they will compare networks to find the right coverage at the best price for you. Best of all, your comprehensive Medicare analysis with GIA costs you nothing. 303-423-0162. Get more without paying more.
Your local enrollment center, GIA Risk Management, is certified by Connect for Health Colorado, Colorado's official health insurance marketplace.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Joe, Jersey Joe is on the line. Joe, how are you?
Andy, I'm great. How are you doing?
I don't know. I'm living in America, and it's kind of a communist land. So, but you live in pure hammer and sickle commie country in New Jersey.
Absolutely. That's and it the loss of freedoms. By the way, did you see where Texas is trying to mimic New Jersey, where they want to replace their castle doctrine with a duty to retreat doctrine, which is what they have here in New Jersey?
Lunacy. In Texas?
Well, it'll probably die. You know, it'll die a quick death. But for Rob's benefit, Rob, you know, in most states like Colorado, you have a castle doctrine, which means if you encounter somebody in your home at 2 o'clock in the morning and shoot them, by law, the district attorney is precluded from filing charges against you. It's called the Castle Doctrine.
That makes sense.
In places like New Jersey and this legislator in Texas now, if you encounter somebody in your house, instead of a Castle Doctrine, you have what's called a duty to retreat. You have to go run and hide. You have to either flee your house or go lock yourself in the bathroom.
You're kidding me.
No, it's called a duty to retreat. That is the law in New Jersey.
What about duty to protect?
No, duty to retreat is what the law said.
Wow.
And well, you'll find that in half a dozen blue states. It's the exact opposite.
What do you do with your family? They all have to retreat too?
You
hand them over. Here you go.
You have to demonstrate that you exercised every available option to avoid
conflict.
Conflict.
Because that always leads to better outcomes, avoiding conflict.
Joe, is it true that in New Jersey, the only time you're allowed to shoot anyone is if you're rioting or if someone cuts in front of you in the bread line?
Yes, that's exactly right. And then all is forgiven.
That's perfectly reasonable. My gosh. Texas! No, that'll die a quick death, but the fact that it's even being brought up is terrifying.
Wow.
It really is. It really is. Did you get a chance to read my diatribe on the dangers of a progressive tax rate?
Yes, I did. I enjoyed it. But please share.
Well, you know, everybody says, well, you know, if we have a progressive as opposed to a flat rate, in Colorado it's 4.63%. Everybody pays, you know, after you take your standard deduction, everybody pays whether you make $1 million or $30,000. You pay 4.63% on your taxable income. Liberals like to say, oh, no, we need a progressive tax rate where the rich, you know, pay a higher rate than the poor. Well, I did a little study, and because in New Jersey, the top tax rate is 10.75%, more than twice Colorado, yet the tax revenue per person is dramatically lower than Colorado. So I began to dig into this. Well, here's what happens. When you give legislators the power to raise rates, you also give them the power to lower rate. Well, if you are a legislator and you want to pander to the largest voting bloc out there, how do you pander to that voting bloc? You offer to lower their taxes. We're going to tax the rich, and we're going to lower your tax rate. So I looked at this. So even though the top tax rate is 10.75%, if you make $64,000 a year in New Jersey, do you know what Rob, guess what your effective tax rate is if you make $64,000 a year in New Jersey?
You tell me.
1.75%.
Wow.
You pay about half the taxes on that income that you would if you were a Colorado resident.
Sure, no, yeah.
Is that just because they let you write off everything under the sun?
No.
Group or what?
No. It's based on your same, you know, federal taxes. So if you make $64,000, you take your $24,000 deduct, and then you have $40,000 of taxable income left. Well, your effective tax rate is 1.75%. So here's the danger. Once you give legislators the ability to apply different rates to different people, it's only a matter of seconds before one or more of them say, hey, I'm going to campaign on a platform of lowering the taxes for the middle class. And, you know, who can resist that? It's a siren song. I'm going to go out there and lower your taxes, and you'll do it. And because when you go to campaign for reelection, you want to say, I promised to lower your taxes, and I did it. Here's the problem. Once you lower the taxes, you can never, ever, ever. What politician is going to campaign on, I'm going to raise your taxes back to what they used to be? So they will always go down. They'll never go up. So as a result of these incredibly low tax rates, by the way, you can tax the top 1%. You'll pull a few extra dollars out of them. But when 90% of the people are paying less than they were before, it'll never make up for the few extra dollars you extracted from the top 10%.
Well, Joe, you know what you call... And we got to leave here, but you know what you call rich people in New Jersey? You call them citizens of Florida.
Florida, that's exactly right. Citizens, because money is fungible, and they will leave.
Well, you are a citizen of New Jersey. Thanks for calling in, Joe. And folks, that'll wrap it up here on Rush to Reason on Tuesday. Rob Bray, thanks for joining me today.
Absolutely.
I hope you had a good time.
What an honor.
You
Glad
bet.
To be here.
Well, thank you. And folks, if you missed first hour, it will play next. Please don't miss it. Until then. Drive safe, God bless, and thank you for joining us on Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.